You're listening to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. Before we get started, we wanted to let you know about a free resource that we're offering, an e-booklet by Todd Adkins called Developing Your Leadership Pipeline. This booklet will help you and your church leadership team begin to formulate a leadership pipeline from concept to structure to training in your own church. To download, go to lifeway.com/churchleaders and select the free e-booklet tab at the top. Again, that's lifeway.com/churchleaders and select the free e-booklet tab, and you can download it there. Now, here's the podcast. Enjoy. Welcome to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. I'm your host, Barnabas Piper, here as usual with Todd Adkins.
What?
Keeping it concise today. A few episodes ago, we had on Chris Brown of Ramsey Solutions, stewardship.com, Chris Brown's True Stewardship radio show and podcast.
Chris Brown on air,
which is his Twitter handle. And we talked our normal 5 leadership questions. So Chris talked about what he's learning, leadership emphasis, those kind of things. But the theme of stewardship came up repeatedly throughout that conversation, being that that is what Chris works with churches on a daily basis, on a weekly basis. So we thought it would make the most sense, and we mentioned it in that podcast, to do another recording where we talk about stewardship and leadership, and that's what we're going to do today. So Chris is back with us. It's actually about 10 minutes after we recorded the last one.
He's back.
But in your life, it has been weeks.
Just for you.
Weeks, probably
so
two of them. So
it's great to see you again.
Thanks for joining us again, Chris.
Hey, it's been a long time.
I'm glad you had enough time to take
up.
Just ignore him. I do.
Did you just ask me, did that thing clear up?
Did that thing ever clear up?
Oh my goodness. Turn the page.
Right. So before we jump into the questions, I'll just mention again, the place where you can go to get a lot of the resources that are tied to this conversation on stewardship is just stewardship.com. Very easy to remember. It'll be in the show notes on our website, lifeway.com/leadership. So go check that out. There's resources there for churches, for individuals, for families, parenting, marriage. There's some free resources as well as a store of stuff that you can buy that's more curriculum oriented. And again, Chris Brown's True Stewardship radio show and podcast are both worthy listens. So go check those out as well. But why don't we just jump into our questions? And so our first one, and Chris referenced this the last time, is people's misconceptions about stewardship, that term. It's kind of a loaded term, but it's also kind of a meaningless term to most people. People think of stewardship in terms of maybe money and frugality, money management. But what is a broader and probably more accurate definition of stewardship, Chris?
Yeah, first and foremost, I feel like it doesn't even really have a positive feel to it. It's almost of a negative stewardship, and that drives me crazy.
It sounds oppressive.
Yeah, it feels like a stale, clinical church world word. And we're redefining it, and it drives us crazy. So you know, a lot of people think it means recycling or saving the rainforest. Probably the most wide definition is some kind of capital campaign. You hear the word stewardship, like, oh my goodness, the church is building another building. Grab your wallet. Kind of
fundraising.
Run for the back door kind of thing. And stewardship, what it means is managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory. It's kind of a three-part definition, and it's very, very intentional. It's God's blessings, meaning not just money. We can just start right there. That's a podcast in itself.
Yeah.
It's not just money. It's all of God's blessings. And the second part of that is God's way. That means the how by the scriptures. And then it's for God's glory. That's the why. So you could do the first two. You can manage God's blessings. Do it well. You could do it his way. It's still not stewardship until you're doing it for him. Because when you do it his way, it's going to work. But if you do it just because it's going to work for your glory, or for you to benefit from it, for you to have a great life, then it's no longer stewardship. So it's really a three-tiered deal. And I cannot emphasize enough, it's more about a worldview. It's more about the way that you view this life. It's more about intentionality than it is money. It's so much bigger than that. It all stems from Psalm 24:1, says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." And another version says, "all it contains."
Mm-hmm. Everything in it.
I've looked up the original language on that. All means all.
Everything.
It gives this word picture of everything.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's really, really complicated.
And so at a fundamental level, if we're not the owner, that means we're the manager. And 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, those who have been entrusted to be managers must prove faithful. And so for, I feel like my role, God has put me on this planet for this season, is to increase people's A, awareness, and B, responsibility, and really their desire to be able to manage God's blessings God's way and for God's glory.
So it's a holy delegation, an intentional delegation of everything that God has given you, from time, resources, all the way down the line.
Yeah, and Todd, I'm trying to put myself where the listener is right now. This concept probably is not new to them. It might be something that they've actually had a head knowledge of for a long time. Mm-hmm. And that right there is the problem. That is just a head knowledge. That is just a cognitive, oh, yeah, it's God's the owner, we're the managers. But once you get it heart deep, and that now fuels your decisions, it is actually what, like when you have a transaction on the money side, or you have a conversation, or you're doing conflict management and leadership, and you're looking at that other person as if I'm stewarding this opportunity, I'm stewarding that person, God has put me over that person to be able to lead them, it just changes everything. If we can get that heart deep, that's the big difference.
Can you maybe, I don't know if it's giving examples or exactly what it would be, but just, I think that concept, the words make sense, mm-hmm. but the concept is, it doesn't sink in very easily, yeah. I have found. Because like you said, I the head knowledge piece is something I picked up maybe 10 years ago working with he's a financial advisor, an elder at our church, but he sort of took this holistic stewardship approach to it, and that was the first time I was introduced to it. But I still don't do very well in thinking of stewardship across, you know, the fullness thereof. Yeah. I only think of it in terms of my bank account, and even that I'm not very good at. can you maybe give some examples? Maybe it's from people you've seen who have begun to get this.
Yeah.
To say, here's how they began to see this in their time or in their marriage or in their parenting or in their whatever it is, their work.
Yeah, it manifests itself in a lot of different ways. Of course, it's not just money, but it's also in our relationship. So if you're married, it's that spouse, that's God's spouse that he's allowed you to marry. It's your friendships. It's your roommates, those of you that are in college, or those of you that are rooming with somebody. You think the tangible things. It's the car. It's the house. Those are God's things that he's allowed you to manage. So from a practical level, it's very tangible things, but then it's also some conceptual stuff like relationships, our influence. He's allowed you the ability to be able to influence that sphere of influence. The way this manifests itself, you know, on a day-to-day basis, let's take a viewpoint, a perspective. We've got the viewpoint, the world's way of handling money, let's just take money for instance, is rooted in entitlement. I deserve, I work so hard for my money.
Yeah.
And you contrast that against God's way of handling money that's rooted in contentment. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:6 that godliness with contentment is great gain. It's also rooted in gratitude. When you really understand that God's the owner and that he trusts you with his stuff, it's kind of a crazy thought that he's given us dominion. You have this spirit of gratitude that when you get that paycheck, let's say it's $1,000, and you got this paycheck, you're like, it's not I deserve. It's God, how would you have me steward this? Because I'm so thankful that you trust me with $1,000. You trust me with this job. You trust me with this capacity to be able to build wealth and to make money. So it's just a huge difference. It couldn't be further apart, this whole idea of entitlement versus right. gratitude.
I love what you added there at the end of the definition in the beginning, because the result that you're, the intended result is to bring God's glory.
Yes.
So it's not just a holy delegation, or it's not just the intent behind it is to bring God's glory. So I'm doing all this stuff. How do I do this in such a way to bring glory to God? Mm-hmm. Which we don't often think when we're paying our electric bill.
No. And it all goes back to the why. And, you know, when it comes to money, when you look at your paycheck and you think to yourself, okay, there's 2,350 verses in the Bible that talk about money, wealth, and possessions. There's an instruction manual there. There's no reason why all of us should be struggling. The research shows that 88% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck or worse. And you're like, what does paycheck to paycheck mean? Because that's a pretty heavy stat.
Yeah.
It just means if a paycheck doesn't show up, you're in trouble. You've got no savings. You're in an issue. And so there's no reason why we should be struggling. But it all goes back to that perspective of entitlement versus gratitude, because we're getting ourselves in a spot where we're in trouble. And, we're just not being responsible.
Well, and that actually sets up our second question really well, because that statistic is evidence of a fairly greedy mindset. Mm-hmm. Because and I've fallen prey to this, and it's you want something more than you want to steward your money wisely. So you buy it and then you hinder your future. You live paycheck to paycheck, whatever it is. That is it. That's greed. And so the question is simply, how does stewardship counteract greed, the desire for more, the desire for, to have more, to be more, to do more, to the self-glorification, essentially?
Yeah, if the three of us were to go out here, we're in downtown Nashville right now, and we were to go down outside and I were to ask you guys this is random, but let's say collect cookies for you. And there's a competition on collecting cookies from whoever walks by. And you're like, hey, I want a cookie. Or let's just say it's money or whatever it is, the item. There is a competition within yourself to get more, to get more. But then if I ask you the same question the next day and I said, hey, can you go outside and can you collect cookies for me? There's a big difference when you're collecting stuff or you're trying to perform for someone else versus yourself. So you're not out there trying to get more for yourself. You are just managing for the creator, for the owner. It's a huge difference. When you're out there and you're saying, I've got to have more, I got to have more. And you walk by that car dealership or you're in the mall and you're like, oh, I've got to have that shirt. I've got to have that. But if you pull up to 30,000 feet and you realize, oh my goodness, no. And of course the foundation of on the money side is contentment. And you're just like, no, I'm in total peace. I feel good. I know right now that I've got this plan to give, then to save, then to spend, and then it puts everything into it. And once you have the right perspective, you can make better decisions.
So slanting this a little bit towards leadership, greed, I think, is an innately human struggle. It's part of the sin nature. But in leadership, it expresses itself in terms of, more influence, more power, those kinds
platform
of things.
Platform is what I'm thinking about here. I mean, this is the age and time of platform, and our good friend Michael Hyatt has made a living off of basically having a platform and then the desire that people have to have a platform. Mm-hmm. I struggle with the same thing as well, because we're in an age of social media and platform, and how many followers do you have, and how many likes do you have, and how many retweets do you have? And so on and so forth. Scripture tells us that the eyes are hell and destruction are never full. And the only other thing that are never full are the human eyes. Mm-hmm. And when we live in such a visual based culture, and those things are displayed for everyone. And I mean, not just we're comparing ourselves to others' highlight reel, but also we're seeing the visual representation of likes and followers and all that.
Yeah.
I guess the spinoff question is just how do you apply the stewardship mindset? I don't even know if mindset's the right word. That's the best I can come up with on short notice to that mental framework, because I think it's much easier to see it in a tangible way, money. Mm-hmm. Not easy to do, easier to understand.
Yeah.
But applying stewardship to the pursuit of influence or platform or things like that.
Yeah.
How does that apply?
Yeah, on the money side, it would be a house, and it would be like a nicer car, and it would be a bigger vacation. Mm-hmm. Instead of going to the local beach that's closest by, going to Hawaii, those are the things that are out there money-wise.
Yeah.
But when it comes to professional life, it would be that next opportunity, that one position, that corner office. It could be a lot of those different things. And I think you just got to go back to the scriptures, and you say, you know what? He says that if I'm faithful with little, he can trust me with much. I got to steward this opportunity. I got to steward this season. I got to steward the capacities he's given me now. I also got to steward the capacity for my ability to learn. And so I've got to make sure that I'm going out there and I'm pursuing. I've got to be faithful where I'm at right now. And I think it's just a big, huge difference between that and trying to get out there and trying to make a promotion happen. Of course, the Bible is very clear that he will lift you up in due time. So It's just, you go back foundationally. And if you think to yourself, when you wake up in the morning, from a time management standpoint, okay, you've got 86,400 seconds a day and they don't roll over. So think about that. If you were to convert that into money, those seconds into pennies, every morning when you wake up, you get a deposit of 86,400 pennies in your account that you've got to spend that day. And they don't roll over. They're gone at the end of the day. And you've got to spend those as a steward. He's trusted you with those. And you've got to ask yourself when you go into work, promotion or no promotion, influence or no influence. What I've been asked to do, what my KRA is, what my job description is, have I done this to the best of my ability? Have I worked unto the Lord and not unto earthly masters? And you just got to ask yourself that. So I really believe if somebody can get this foundational mindset, it actually helps you in all the rest of them. And the reason why we hone on money so much is because money touches all different facets of our life. It really does. And you think about relationships, that the number one cause of divorce in America is money fights and money problems. So if that's just in the relational component, hey, let's get your money right. So many people are like wanting to do all this ministry, wanting to get a platform, wanting to do this. But the bottom line is there's a big difference between being intentioned for those things and being positioned for those things. You know, being intentioned for ministry or for promotion is nothing without being positioned. You've got to be in a mindset where you think, you know, I can actually focus on what it would take to get to the next level. But so many people are like, oh my goodness, I don't know how I'm going to pay that next bill, how to pay that, I'll pay off my debt, or how I'm even going to be able to survive the rest of the week.
We meet. So one of the areas that's under Lifeway leadership is new churches, mm-hmm. and new churches is church plants and multi-site. But church plants in particular, you meet, it's so sad that you meet so many people that are intentioned by God to be pastors. Mm-hmm. They're called into ministry. They want to plant a church and they have not positioned themselves properly from a financial standpoint to be able to do that. Because I don't care whether you're serving with North American Mission Board or church, you know, various church planting networks, if they're looking at you and seeing tons of debt or those different elements, it automatically disqualifies you from doing that. It doesn't disqualify you forever.
Yeah.
But until you're able to position yourself in such a way to lead in a healthy way, and not be so concerned about that, because as a leader, that's going to be a massive distraction to you, which I think leads into our third question really well. And that's, why must a leader be a good steward? I mean, what impact does that have on the organization, whether or not the leader is a good steward?
Well, I mean, it's what we've been called to do. We've been told to do that. So for a leader, taking that, situation. Let's just say you're leading 15 people. Maybe you're leading 100. I don't know who you're leading, but you are not only stewarding your influence over them, you're also stewarding the culture that you're creating that they're now going to feed throughout the organization or to whoever they're leading. And so you're not only leading, that's what it says when you've been given much, much is required. And I think when you're not only having to steward your level, but you're being held accountable for what's going throughout, you're permeating throughout your organization. And so when it comes to this, it's not just stewarding, okay, when I'm walking into a meeting, what's my thought process? Okay, how am I going to build them up? How am I going to empower them? How am I going to encourage them, but challenge them in love and God's way and for His glory? But also, how am I going to change their lens? How are they going to now look at their problems a different way, the way that James looks at trials? How are they going to look at their spouse differently? How are they going to look at their children differently? You've got to create a culture of stewardship, because that's ultimately what we're supposed to do here. He has given us dominion all the way back from Genesis. Hey, listen, you are managing my stuff. This is foundational to everything we do, conflict management, hiring and firing. It's when you think of, okay, I've got this role, I've got to hire a youth guy or a youth gal. I've got to make sure that they're leading 200 people. That's not just filling a hole. It's deeper than that. God has entrusted you as the senior leader to be able to fill that role with somebody who's going to create a culture that does things God's way and does things for His glory. It's a lot of responsibility.
Yeah, I think Todd has said many times that in a huge way, leadership is stewardship. I mean, it's just it is one and the same.
Yes.
Because of everything you just said. And that that three-phrase framework you gave at the beginning, what was it? God's blessings, God's way for God's glory. I think that is that creates a plan of action, because the blessing is leadership. It's the influence, it's the organization, it's the position. God's way has to do with leadership, it has to do with ethics, it has to do with how you go about your work. And then for God's glory is the intention of it all. And I think that that framework is really beneficial, because it's much easier to apply than the word stewardship.
It's a great framework for parenting.
Yes.
The blessing God's given me in this sphere is my children.
Yeah.
How am I going to raise them in
what is God's way? Yeah.
Yep.
And how am I going to do that to God's glory? Yeah. And then finances, time, so on and so forth. I think that's a brilliant little framework that anybody can remember and just take a step back.
It
and
makes
go,
stewardship okay. way more palatable and understandable.
Yes. Yeah.
It, not any easier, but no, right. way more palatable and understandable.
You still have to do it, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So our fourth question is it follows on the heels of the previous one. So we asked, why must a leader be a good steward? And that was sort of the big answer. Now we're going to kind of hone in on some specifics. What are key areas of life which a leader must be a good steward, both personally and organizationally? So as leaders are thinking, okay, I get the concept, but give me some buckets here. I need to think about stewarding this and this and this.
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to, as hard as I can, as I'm trying to redefine stewardship and what people think about it nationwide and internationally, trying to get it away from buckets.
Okay.
And trying to get it more to I'm going to get to the buckets in a minute, but it's an overall lens. Like if you really think through, you look through a pair of glasses and you're looking at the world, it's got a tint on it. Mm-hmm. Overall, it's an umbrella of just you're stewarding all of it, all it contains, everything. And so there are buckets of life that are under that umbrella, but it's just an overall viewpoint. It's an overall concept of looking at life. So, for instance, we talked about leadership a little bit. Todd, you just hit on parenting a little bit. But if there's a big difference between looking at Max, my oldest son, and saying, I want to be a good dad to Max. That's got like a two intensity to it. But when I say, God has gifted me with Max Christopher Brown, and I have been entrusted enough to manage him, to steward him, not only his behavior, not only his physical being, not only his schoolwork, but his character. And the Bible says in Proverbs 13:22 that a good man will pass an inheritance to the next generation. And so to his children's children, it says, that's not just money, that's character. And so when I have to steward him Absolutely. As a person, it changes everything. The depth and the intensity of the responsibility and the privilege and the honor. It's like, God, man, thank you so much. And you've got this overwhelming spirit of gratitude. And, you know, one of the buckets would be generosity. I mean, you've got this whole entire compelling viewpoint of gratitude. Well, gratitude personifies itself or manifests itself into generosity. Generosity is just gratitude in action. It's impossible to be grateful for what you've got and not give. It's a natural overflow. You think about all those pay it forward things, and you think about a Starbucks line, and someone hooks you up with a drink, you automatically want to give to the person behind you because you're truly grateful, and it makes you want to give. And so from a generosity standpoint, Barnabas, to leadership, to parenting, to marriage, to personal development, to health, how we treat our bodies, all of that goes back to God's given us this opportunity to manage everything that we touch, everything that we experience. And I really would like people not to think of it as a responsibility. That's one level, but an honor. Like, oh my goodness, he trusts me that much.
And it's funny that you bring that up, because when you brought up the Starbucks line and that and it being an act of gratefulness, it can be just an act of responsibility, because it's not that hard to just be like, well, thanks, and then you just walk out with a free drink. But you sort of feel the obligation to be like, oh, I guess I should pick up this guy's caramel macchiato too.
Yeah.
But that's not really gratefulness. That's just obligation.
Yes,
I wanted to pull out something that you talked about in looking at the investment that you make and about the inheritance piece in particular. Mm-hmm. My grandmother died last year. She never graduated high school, never even had a driver's license. She had, my grandfather had three sons, and there's like 13 sons and grandsons. Mm-hmm. So one, like two generations away from that, one generation away from that, everyone has a college, and most people have post-college, postgraduate degrees. Everybody's, you know, extremely stable. Everybody loves the Lord. Vast majority are in ministry in some way. And so I remember I did not make it through it. But my one sentence thing on my grandmother is, you know, the inheritance that she left us was not stocks or bonds or things that may rise or fall by the day, but a rock solid, well invested life that she lived and poured in. And from a stewardship perspective, I still don't know how she did that. Mm-hmm. I still don't know how my parents did what they did for me with what they had. And it really boils down to stewardship. It really boils down to that discipline and that intentional thought. So
yeah, the reason why this overall framework is so important is because we can all make good decisions here and there if we will ourselves to do it. If we just say, you know, we're going to have, oh, I've got to be disciplined. I've got to make sure that I have this conversation with my kids, or I read them a bedtime story. Like, you can do that occasionally. But if you actually get it at a heart level that God entrusts you to, if you have that, like, it's part of who you are, you're a steward, then you're going to be a lot more consistent with your behavior. It's not just going to be hit and miss. And so there's no mistaking that you had that great inheritance, because, you know, some little things like the way that she probably talked to y'all, a soft answer turns away wrath, and stuff like that's God's way of handling relationships, those kind of things.
Sometimes it's spare
or
the
don't
rod.
Spare the rod. I knew that was coming.
She had three boys and that many grandchildren. I can tell you right now, neither my parents or she spared. Actually, there was a belt hanging on the wall under a plaque that said, "I need thee every hour."
There you go.
But no, it was
It never got dusty.
It never got dusty. But you know, it really was. I look back, mm-hmm. knowing, you know, I know finances pretty well and different things now, and I can't do the math. I don't understand how they did what they did. Yeah. I don't understand how my parents did what they did for me and continue to do for my grandkids. And
they're,
I'm just
their
like,
grandkids.
Their grandkids.
You don't have grandkids.
Nope.
You're not that old.
Not yet. But it really is truly amazing. And it is because it is it's a lifestyle. It's become a lifestyle.
Yeah.
It's not something that they've, you know, tried to pull themselves up by their bootstraps. It's just part of the framework that they put in their life to make these things happen. We boil everything down here to systems and processes, because it's the systems and processes that often are the difference between success and failure. It's great to have a good vision. It's great to have, to be inspired. But at the end of the day, we have to put those things into practice. And frameworks like the one that you've given us today are extremely helpful in doing that, to create those habits that eventually become part of who we are.
Yeah.
So our last question. So this, I think we've covered a lot in terms of concept and even habits and some of those kinds of things. But from a leadership perspective, one of the things that needs to happen is getting this from the leader being invested in it, and you mentioned earlier, into the culture.
Yes.
And some of that will happen by accident, mm-hmm. because the way the leader leads becomes culture. But how can a leader most effectively communicate stewardship principles and practices in organizations? So it's not just a personal thing. Mm-hmm. And how it needs to be clearly communicated, especially if it's part of the identity. So how can that communication be done most effectively?
Yeah, well, you know, you think about the things that penetrate your organization now. There, it started with a vision, a mission statement. You establish some values. And if you're a good leader, you talk about those three things all the time. Mm-hmm. And the values have kind of permeated throughout the entire organization. You've got to value it. You've got to value it. It's got to be part of the everyday conversation. And again, think about, I believe it was The Advantage, Lencioni talking about, you got implied values. You got some values that you wish you had, but you don't have. Aspirational goals. It can't be one of these things where it's your aspirational value. Like, oh, you know, everyone can't be overweight on your team and say we value we value health. Or, you know what I'm saying? It's just, you can't, you just got to make sure that you actually, they all are your values. So I don't want you to put stewardship as one of your values and it not be, but you've got to actually value it. And so you've got to internalize it first. Obviously, any kind of leadership, you got to model it. And so you've got to internalize it yourself. And then you've got to model that lifestyle. And then it's got to be part of your vernacular. So whatever you're teaching on the platform or off the platform, it's got to be through the eye. You don't have to use the word stewardship. It's just got to be through the eyes of the concept that we're just managing. It's not ours. And this whole idea of our church. I mean, we have pronoun problems all over the place. And we're never going to get rid of those because we have finite minds. He's an infinite God. And we're just going to think earthly, you know, just because we're...
I think there's also a bit of a knee-jerk because we have heard... We've seen it handled disingenuously too many times. Somebody's like, well, this is God's church. I'm like, well, you sure don't handle it like it's God's church.
Yeah, there's a super spiritual way of going and say it's all, I understand that. But I think it's just internally, like, you've got to authentically know this is not my team. This is not my community or our community or our, no, it's all God's. And I just got to be part of your vernacular. So whether you're talking about relationships on the weekend, it needs to be through the lens of stewardship. And maybe it's a whole entire, like maybe it's like 5 minutes where you actually hit on it, or it just overarching as part over the sermon. But leadership talks and staff meetings, it's just, okay, guys, let's just remember, let's manage this for God's glory. And if that starts, like, it's part of your prayers and it's permeating through your meetings, you've got it maybe as a tagline on some of your letterhead, it'll start to permeate. But, you know, the most frustrating thing in the world when you're not the leader is when you watch your leader try to push something that they don't actually believe in. Don't do it until you've actually internalized it. And I'm hoping that stuff like the My Radio Show and Stewardship.com can help you develop this in your life.
I would also say, if there, I don't know that anybody is as self-aware as they think they are. So have a few people, you know, on your team or people that are close to you. If this is something that you're going to add to your values or that you are going to hold up, be sure that you interact with them and make sure that that's something that you actually do, that you can actually see. Because you may think that you're a great steward, and they may come back and go, well, there's a few areas that you might be blind to.
Let me give a little bit of a warning for lead pastors and executive pastors or whatever the title is in your denomination. You will not be able to champion this movement by yourself. You've got too many things going on. Yeah. You've got too many responsibilities. You've got to have somebody who champions this movement, paid or non-paid. It could be somebody who's a lay leader, but somebody who is a stewardship director or a stewardship pastor who can infiltrate this throughout your organization. So that would be the biggest thing. Of course, you've got to own it, but then you've got to value it enough to make it a ministry. And I'm not one of these people that I want 75 ministries. I really don't. I'm all about simple church and keeping it simple. But stewardship being such a big deal, being such a foundational principle to everything we do, you can really start off small, start off with maybe it's just money, and then you get into relationships as you can do it with excellence. But you just think about when it says 1 Corinthians 4:2, that we are to be faithful managers. The people got to know what that means. They can't just get one sermon a year to find out what faithful means. They've got to know, okay, Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Oh, Luke 14:28 talks about this whole idea of budgeting. Okay, you got to have a vision for your finances. Yeah. You think about saving. Proverbs 21:20, in the house of the wise is choice food and oil. People need to know that it's actually biblical to save. When you get into debt, Proverbs 22:7, the borrower is enslaved to the lender. Romans 13:8, owe no man anything except for the debt to love one another. And of course, generosity, we can't just get one or two messages a year on generosity. It's got to be ingrained into the culture on the platform and off the platform. And a lot of people need help in these areas because they're like, okay, I get it. How do I get out of my mess? And you got to help them kneecap to kneecap.
I mean, and that's where some of the resources that you guys offer, that Ramsey offers through Financial Peace University, you can find a whole bunch more through stewardship.com. Those are ways to actually help people take practical steps, because I think there's a lot of people with good intentions and no way out of the hole they're in, but on their own. So those are really beneficial.
What I love about what just happened is we had a guy come in and drop more scripture than any other pastor or that we've ever had on the podcast.
Yeah, I mean, just spitting it.
And we're talking about stewardship, which is often, you know, it's the money side of things. We don't want to talk about that.
But I think that right there is part of the reason why it's hard for leaders to communicate it, because the the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing. And in sometimes that's a good way thing yeah. because you don't want to be bragging about generosity. Mm-hmm. But how do you model generosity without other people seeing yes. generosity?
Well, and
so that I mean, there's a tricky balance here where you're not. But I think it comes back to the third point of that three-step mm-hmm. framework, and that is for God's glory. Yes. So the generosity is not, look at me, what I did. Right. It's we were able to bless people this way so that they, you know, they could see
Christ.
So
the glory of the
whatever.
Person or the glory of the institution.
Yeah.
Yep.
That church.
Yeah, recently
God's glory.
Robert Morris on the leadership podcast, and I asked him the difference. I said, what's the difference between leading? Because he's pretty open with his generosity. I said, what's the difference between, where's the gap between leading and bragging? Modeling and bragging. And he said, the heart, the motive, the reason why
yeah,
you're
the
doing
words
it.
Can be the
yeah.
same.
Yeah, the words are exactly the same. He's like, if I get up there and say I'm giving 27% this year, above and beyond the tithe, only God and I know my heart on that. I'm either modeling and leading or I'm bragging.
It really goes back to what we were talking about with ambition. It's the posture and attitude that you enter with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Makes all the difference.
Well, we could probably go on at length with different examples and ways to do this, but I think that's probably a good way to wrap this up. So listeners, go check out stewardship.com and Chris Brown's True Stewardship radio show podcast. Those are consistent resources. If this is something that your heart has been pricked, or this is something you've been thinking about and you're trying to figure out what next steps are, they're there. So go find them there. There's an abundance kind of in whichever place in life you are. So single, married, parent, if you want to lead this in your church, there's resources for all of it. Stewardship.com. Check that out. Chris, thanks again for joining us. We really appreciate it. It's been a great conversation.
Yeah, it was an honor, guys. And hey, I don't know how you'll mix this in later, but let me also tell you guys that there's a resource for those who are leading out in stewardship. It's actually called stewardshipcentral.org. And, right. you know, if you're listening in and you're saying, you know what, how in the world do I get started on the leadership side, infiltrating this throughout my organization? Stewardshipcentral.org has got tons of free resources there for you as well.
Good deal. We'll put that in the show notes.
We will. So listeners, thanks so much for joining us again, as you do consistently. Thanks for telling your friends about this. We continue to find our downloads increasing, and I don't know how that happens,
yes.
but for your help. So thank you for helping us out in that. Jump on iTunes, leave us a rating and review. Go leave Chris's podcast a rating and review after you listen to it and love it. Thanks so much for joining us, and tune in next time.
Thank you for listening to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. Before you go, we wanted to remind you about the free e-booklet, Developing Your Leadership Pipeline, that will help your church get started training leaders more effectively. To download, go to lifeway.com/churchleaders and select the free e-booklet tab at the top. Again, that's lifeway.com/churchleaders and select the free e-booklet tab, where you can download the e-booklet for free.